This is Mike Dolce.
Ian McCall. Jan Little Evil Pulver.
The Crippler Chris Leaving.
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Bruce Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Balls.
And I am back to Talking Brawls, Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, with your host as always, Niall McGrath, back after 3 weeks of not being on the air, but delighted to be back on tonight with a big lineup ahead of UFC on Fox 10 this weekend. And the reason why I haven't been back on the air, if you're a close follower of the show, and you can obviously catch us on Twitter, Talking Brawls as well, you will know that we're going to be, you know, taking the show to the next stage. So you know, stay posted for that next week. There'll be an announcement on Twitter next Tuesday or Wednesday. So keep up to date with that. And I have a new co-host coming on the show next week. Andrew McGahan will be joining me from severemma.com from every week, hopefully, from now on out. So it'll be great to have Andrew on the air with me. Obviously, huge things going on in the world of mixed martial arts. We've learned this week that Chris Leben is retiring. The legend, the UFC legend that is Chris Leben, a great guy, a great character, a guy we've obviously had on the show here before. And you know, best of luck to Chris with the rest of his career and whatever he you know, intends to do. I believe he's opening up a gym. That's what he's going to do. So best of luck to Chris, and what a competitor, and you know, a guy I always admired a huge amount. Also, since we've been on, Anderson Silva, you know, what more can we say about that leg break? A very unfortunate set of circumstances at UFC 169 in December. Tarek Safadine, a great performance against Hyung-Yun Lim. I always get his name. It's a very tough name to pronounce. But, you know, it was a really good performance from Tarek to get a win against such a big, strong welterweight like Hyung-Yun Lim. And I'm sure he'll be around for many a year to come in the UFC. Both guys will. And Tarek obviously is going to move up, you know, further. I think he's at number 6 now in the UFC rankings after that victory in Singapore. So Cage Warriors as well, a great card there. We have a new Cage Warriors lightweight champion, Ivan Buchinger, defeating Stevie Ray. Also on the card, we had Jim Ehlers, who joined us last time out, along with Tarek Safadine. He retained his world title in really dominant fashion, and you know, Jim must now be looking at that Florida card the UFC have announced, which is going to take place, I think, in 2 months' time. You know, that's his hometown, so yeah, it'd be great to see Jim on that. And Jim is a guy who's just also won the Cage Warriors Fighter of the Year award, so congratulations to Jim the Beast Ehlers. I'm sure we'll be seeing him in the UFC very, very soon. Indeed. Also, obviously, we had Paul Redmond on the show last time out, and Paul came up short, a very unfortunate set of circumstances. He seemed to get caught on the deck and got choked out by Matias Teodorczuk, the Polish battler, a very decent fighter himself. Matias looked really, really sharp, and Paul just got caught in the ground, and Paul, in typical Paul Redmond fashion, wouldn't tap out, and he got choked out, he got put to sleep, and that shows you what kind of guy Paul is. Paul is a warrior and a battler, and fair play to Paul, and Paul will be back, a guy who'll be in the UFC in a couple of years' time, in my opinion, anyway, or maybe on the Dublin card in September or July or May, whenever the card's going to take place. We're not sure yet, but it's looking most likely it's going to be September. So guys, obviously on the show today, another great lineup as always. We have Alex Cacheres, who goes up against the highly touted brother of the lightweight champion of the UFC, Anthony Pettis. Sergio Pettis is his opponent this Saturday at UFC on Fox 10. So we catch up with Alex to talk about that fight, talk about his evolution as a person and as a mixed martial artist. And he speaks a lot about, you know, growing up since he moved down to the MMA lad to train with Benson Henderson and John Crouch down there. So obviously Benson's fighting this weekend against Josh Thompson as well. And we're going to talk, round up all the week's news. Keith Kaiser, we're going to speak about, obviously he's stepping down as chief executive or executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. This is his final week in charge of the commission. So we're going to speak to John Morgan about that, about Chris Leben, about you know, guys dodging Nurmagomedov. And what else have we got? We talk a little bit about Tito Ortiz's DUI, and also break down the UFC on Fox 10 card. So the loads to get through this week. Really buzzing for it. And as I said, follow us on Twitter, because next week we've some really good news. And obviously I've mentioned Adam McGahan's going to be joining me on the podcast. That'll be in association with severemma.com. So I can't wait for that, to catch up with Andrew. Andrew, as I mentioned there, obviously he's not on this week with me because he's actually over in Portugal at the IBJJF European Championships over in Lisbon in Portugal. So Andrew's a really knowledgeable guy in mixed martial arts. So great to have him on board here at Talking Brawl. So go over to severemma.com and check out a great content there, a great website. PT Carley's been on the show before, writes a lot for them as well, so really good stuff there also. Wow, I'm nearly out of breath here. So guys, yeah, hit us up on Twitter at Talking Brawls. Any comments you want to make about the show, hit us up on Facebook, Talking Brawls Mixed Martial Arts Podcast on Facebook. And also you can catch us on Gmail, talkingbrawls@gmail.com. Come, okay, let's get to it. Massive card this weekend, massive fight for Alex Gutierrez, looking to make it four in the bounce. Well, no, five in the bounce, should I say, really, because, you know, we're going to count that no contest after he got suspended for smoking marijuana. So, Alex, great interview coming up with Alex, obviously battling the highly touted Sergio Pettis. Sergio is, you know, a really good fighter. I watched him a bit in RFA. But he definitely suffered from nerves, as John Morgan will talk about later on, you know, in his UFC debut against Will Campuzano. So, yeah, without further ado, let's get to the first interview of the day. I caught up with Alex Bruce Leroy Gutierrez. So check it out. I'll be back in a few minutes to talk about UFC on Fox 10. Check it.
This is the Big Wheel, Sean Wheelock, and you are listening to Talking Brawls.
Delighted to welcome back on the show Alex Bruce Leroy Gutierrez, who goes up against Sergio Pettis this weekend at UFC on Fox 10. First of all, Alex, we haven't spoken to you. I think it's about a year since you were last on the show. How are things with you, man? How's life?
I've been good, man. You know, I've been doing some general growing in life in general, you know, and just been doing good, you know, getting better at my craft and expanding one's mind.
Yeah, definitely, Alex. You mentioned growing just there straight off the bat. Before your last fight against Roland Delhorme, you went down to the MMA lab in Arizona. How's that worked out for you? You really showed a lot of improvement in your last fight against Roland Delhorme. I noticed your jab was very good, and your defense off your back was excellent. Has that really, you know, helped your game?
Yeah, definitely. Working at the MMA lab, you know, working on my ground, wrestling and all that stuff has definitely helped me become more comfortable striking on the feet, because I'm not as worried as I was going to the floor, you know? So I'm able to open up a little bit more, you know, get a little craftier, you know, put a little flash in between.
What's it like to have a guy, you know, a coach like John Crouch around to help you work on those techniques? How much of an influence has he been on your evolution as a mixed martial artist?
Well, the guy is just a really smart guy, you know. Definitely very laid back, very easygoing, and you know, he comes with the approach of teaching martial arts in a way of like, I'm not trying to make you into my fighter. I want to make you a better version of you, you know, so definitely, or the best version that you can be at whatever we're training at. And that's what I really like about Crouch. You know, he never tried to change me, you know, he just tried to get all the tools that I had and just sharpen them.
Definitely. And what's it like to have a guy like Benson Henderson around as well? It must obviously be a lot easier for you, you know, having a teammate, obviously fighting on the card as well, headlining the card.
It's awesome, you know. It's awesome. We actually got two teammates fighting here. It's him and Yachty.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Benson is just, you know, he's an inspiration all the time. Every time in the gym, you know, he's always working hard. Gives a lot more than 110%, I tell you that much. I mean, this guy's really on at the gym. Really shines out there, so it's really good to have him out here. It's to start rolling around with him, cutting weight with him, and everything. It's really good to have him out here, man.
Great stuff. And what was the motivation, Alex, to go to the MMA lab? I know it's one of the, you know, John Crouch is obviously, you know, hugely experienced coach and a hugely admired coach by many people. What was the motivation to go to Arizona?
Well, definitely, I just wanted to get better. You know, the motivation definitely was, you know, I had to start winning fights, and I had to fill in my holes. And as a person that's growing, you know, trying to achieve any type of enlightenment, you know, wherever I can get it. I noticed that I have to probably as well as do things that I thought I didn't like to do, which in turn opened up new windows and doors. And in fact, you know, I figured that, hey, I really do like doing this. I really like the fact that I'm better. You know, it's just, it's always hard to get the wheel rolling. But once you do, you know, you see a whole other side of yourself. And I guess the motivation was, I guess I just kept getting more motivated every time I got better, and which was the thing, you know. Every time I got better, it was like, oh man, maybe there's a little bit more to me than I thought there was. And when I reached that little level, I'm like, oh wait, there might be a little bit more than that. And then I said, oh my God, it just keeps going, it keeps going, it's infinite. And that was the motivation, basically, you know, just getting better and just growing as a person.
Was it hard to move over? Like, was it hard to make that transition? Or are you living down in Arizona now at the moment?
No, I'm not living in Arizona at the moment. I go do my camps there. I'm actually planning on moving to Oregon. I mean, it's a lot closer than Miami is to Arizona anyway, but as well as I'm a very outdoorsy guy and very, very into nature and whatnot, and Oregon seems like a very beautiful place to set up home base. So I'm actually planning on moving out to Oregon, you know, man, getting a house out there and just living off the land as much as possible. And my girlfriend wants to go to school out there too as well.
Cool. Yeah, it's a lot better than Dublin at the moment, I guarantee you that. Anywhere would be with the weather we're having here at the moment. But listen, mate, moving on to your opponent, Sergio Pettis. You know, he made his UFC debut. There's a lot of hype with this guy against his fight against Will Campuzano. How impressed are you with this guy? And what are you expecting from Sergio Pettis on Saturday night?
Well, I've never really seen the fight with him and Campuzano. I mean, I'm expecting a good fight, you know, a good stand-up fight. I mean, I saw an interview someone posted on my Twitter recently, you know, Pettis wants to play the long game, you know. He wants to use his range to try and keep me at bay, stand up, and apparently he uses his body. He says he uses his body better than, he can use his body better than mine, so he wants to try and play the range game with me because he thinks that I'm going to take him down and try and grind him out, you know? And, well, we all know what I like to do, and I don't think I'm that type of fighter to take somebody down and grind somebody out. I mean, the only times I really end up grappling is because it was initiated by my opponents, but if he wants to play the long game, man, that's just my game, you know?
And Alex, is this fight for you? Is it about making, you know, you've mentioned there that you want to improve as a person in life and in general as a mixed martial artist. Is this fight about making a definitive statement for yourself?
Yeah. You know, this is definitely one of those fights, you know, that's definitely going to prove, you know, that I hope, you know, I mean, just with the hype behind it, it's going to prove that I belong finally, you know, because even though there's still some naysayers and non-believers, but it's all good. You know, I hold a malice towards that, but it definitely brings up a bit of doubt in my head. So it's something that I have to prove to myself that, you know, my striking is one of the best in the game. You know, I mean, my accuracy is what it is for a reason. You know, I really want to show people that I'm not really thinking about like getting knockouts or anything, but I mean, just really putting together some really nice combinations.
Yeah, definitely.
Whatever happens, happens. But I can't ask for much more than that, except perform my techniques as with minimal stress as possible, and as good as I can do it.
We know how good you are in the deck. You know, scrambling is you're awesome at it, and your defense, as I mentioned there, off your back improved greatly in your last fight. Do you sort of want to make a statement to the world and keep this fight standing to show a different dimension of being an all-round mixed martial artist?
Well, whatchamacallit, I don't necessarily want to. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I'm going to do what I have to do. I'm an all-around fighter anyway. If I feel like I have to grapple and wrestle, then I'll do it. But I do prefer standing up, but I like to mix it up, you know? It's not necessarily if I feel like I have to either. I just feel like I've been working a lot of my ground and wrestling game as well, that, you know, getting it all mixed up in there would be something to do. I mean, that's what the best fighters have to do, you know, get in their face, play the distance, play the ground. I mean, play a little bit of everything. You know, I want to be a jack of all trades, you know?
Definitely. And Alex, you know, you've had a lot of split decisions in your last sort of 3 to 4 fights. Is that something, you know, you want to brush off and you want to win a fight definitively?
Yeah, definitely. You know, even though some of the split decisions I can contest, but it's whatever. It's what the judges see, you know. And, you know, I try to finish my fights as much as possible, as much as the next guy. But, you know, stuff happens, and it doesn't really bother me too much. I really don't mind what happened, what was the end result of the fight. I just really want to know that I went out there and performed well, you know. It doesn't matter what happens, but after the fight, if everybody's like, damn, that was one hell of a fight, then, you know, I did my job.
Just as a person, as you mentioned there, right at the start of the interview, you feel as though you've matured a person. You have, from your interviews, obviously, in the early days in The Ultimate Fighter over the past, you know, I think it's 3 to 4 years now. How do you feel you've matured? Do you generally feel as though you've grown up a lot in your tenure in the UFC?
Yeah, I definitely felt like I have. You know, I mean, like, it's within the, what is it, like 4 years, last 4 years since The Ultimate Fighter show, I definitely feel like I'm coming into myself. It's like I'm slowly becoming what I'm supposed to be, and really most of it, you know, a good large portion of it, I'll say more than 3/4, has nothing to do with fighting. You know, it's becoming the person that I am has really nothing to do with fighting. I like the sport, I like doing it. I honestly like training more than fighting, but I don't know, the older I get, I just feel, you know, it's something that I know that I'm not going to be doing forever, and something that I don't necessarily want to be doing forever. I mean, what I'm using it really is as a stepping stone. Of course, because they pay me well, you know, and I like doing it too, so it's not that stressful, but I feel like it's a good opportunity to help me feed my dreams that I want to achieve one day.
You know, fighting on a fight card like this, it's a stacked card from top to bottom. It's on Fox Sports. How much does that excite you, and how much does that mean to you to be on that sort of platform where you're seen by millions of people over the world? It must be very exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is very exciting. I feel like, you know, like I like fighting on a big stage, you know, get my name out there. I feel like I could reach a larger audience and really, how would you say, what's that word? I forget what the word is, but I can really get the message out there that I'm trying to send, you know. I mean, it has nothing to do with fighting at all, but I mean, like, I feel like if I can reach a larger audience, that'll be a lot better for my ultimate goal in life. And so it's really exciting and really amazing that I get to fight in that level of fighting, especially get on TV and Fox, you know, do it in front of a whole lot of people. You know, it's a little bit of a dream come true there.
Definitely good stuff. And obviously going into fight week now, weight on point, everything looking good. And what's the plan for the next couple of days with the weight? Are you still cutting?
Yeah, I'm still cutting. Still cutting, not too much, you know. I definitely came in a lot lower than I did last few fights, you know. So it's definitely a little bit easier, and it's a hell of a lot easier cutting weight with all my friends from the lab. Definitely, so yeah, it makes it a little bit easier on my body.
And Alex, you mentioned your dreams there. What are those dreams for 2014?
Well, my dreams, you know, I want to be able to set up a place, you know. I'm not for 2014. I mean, this is later on down the line. But I'm trying to set up a place where people don't have to worry about anything but life. You know what I mean? And that's it. You know, I mean, you can, for visiting, for staying, whatever you want, you know. I definitely, kind of like a mixture between a gym, a health wellness center,
cool.
Spa, learning center, you know, just something that can, like, help you dabble and just so you can immerse yourself in life. You know, something so self-sufficient that it literally pays for itself.
Jesus, man, can I come down there sometime if you get that going?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, everybody's welcome. You know, once I get it going, you know, I'm going to try and get it out there with my, how would you say, with my appearance in the media, you know. I'm going to try and get it out there and portray it as much to the public as much as possible. But first, I got to get there first, and to get there, I do got to kick some ass.
Good stuff, brother, good stuff. And ultimately, what way is this fight going to end? And have you any final words for Sergio Pettis?
I don't know how it's going to end. I mean, there's so many scenarios that play in my head, you know, where I could, like, I have so many scenarios where it ends by submission, knockout decisions, or, you know, unanimous, whether it's split or unanimous. I even have scenarios where I lose. But it's just I really don't know what's going to happen in the fight. The only thing that I can guarantee to Sergio Pettis and to everybody out there that's watching is that I'm going to perform, and I'm going to perform well.
Definitely. I can't wait for it. I always enjoy your fights, mate. You're always an entertaining fighter to watch. And just one more question before we wrap it up. How's your brother getting on in his mixed martial arts career?
He's doing good. Unfortunately, he's coming off of a loss. He's coming off of a loss, and it's not too bad, but he kind of got, heel hooked on his bad ankle. I mean, you can even see in the picture of the fight, his ankle was already bruised up. I believe Hector Lombard had at his ankle earlier in his training camp, so it was already kind of iffy when he was stepping in, but he's doing well right now. He definitely showed a lot better display of stand-up skills. So I'm looking forward to his bright future in the career. Although things are a little bit slow, he just recently had a baby, so things are picking up for him. But I feel like he's gonna do good. I mean, he has the length and athleticism to be a great fighter.
Brilliant stuff, Alex. Just before we wrap up the interview, any sponsors? Anyone you'd like to give a shout out to?
Well, I really, honestly, I like to give a shout out to Diamond, that sent me my cup. You know, they're great. I love their cups and everything, and the jog straps and whatnot. I really don't know what other sponsors are on my banner. I haven't received them yet, but there's products that I like to thank. You know, I like to thank a lot of the vegan products that are out there, especially Raw Meal, where I get my proteins from. And you know, I like to thank all vegan companies, you know, for putting the food out there and, you know, making it easier for me to chow down on some plants.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Alex, obviously, where can the guys find you? They can catch you on Twitter, at Bruce Leroy Glow, I think it is. Alex, listen, really looking forward to your fight. Always an entertaining guy to watch and always a great guy to speak to. And really do appreciate the time. And best of luck on Saturday, man.
Oh, thank you very much, man.
And that was Alex Bruce Leroy Kachera as he goes up against Sergio Pettis this weekend at UFC on Fox. Prelim card, which is sure to be an absolute barn burner of a fight. I think it's headlining the prelim card, so watch out for that one, definitely. It's a big test for Alex has improved greatly, in fairness to him. You know, probably never going to be a world champion, but a guy who's, you know, as you heard there, loves to entertain the fans, and I think that's what it's about, really maturing and evolving as a mixed martial artist. He really has matured, because if you remember back in the Ultimate Fighter days, he was very, you know, outspoken, and now it's a lot more thought behind what he says in his interviews, etc. And best of luck to him. That's going to be an absolute smashing fight. And also on the prelims are stacked from top to bottom. It's a really, really good card. We've Darren Cruikshank and Mike Rio. Also, other fights to stick out, Chico Camus versus Yatso Meza, a very good fight there. Eddie Wineland, hoping to bounce back to wins against Jib Yabwin. That'll be a really tough fight for him, but I'd expect Eddie to be strong favourite going into that fight and get the win. And yes, Alex Kachera and Sergio Pettis is headlining that on Fox Sports 1. BT Sports 1, I think it starts for us guys over here at 11 p.m. tomorrow night, so obviously make sure to check that one out. Okay, the first fight on the prelim card, I'll get to some fight picks now. Darren Elkins versus Jeremy Stephens. You know, this is going to be a really good fight. Jeremy Stephens, obviously, you know, coming off two straight wins since that loss to Yves Edwards against Esteban Payan and Ronnie Jason at UFC Fight Night Belfort versus Henderson, where he put in a beautiful head kick performance, if you remember that one. Also, Darren Elkins is, you know, he's battling away there. Came back with a great win against Hato Kiyoke. And, you know, before that he lost to Chad Mendes. But he was on, I think, 5-fight win streak before the loss to Chad Mendes. So he's looking to bounce back and get, you know, a run going again together. But, you know, this fight, it's hard to see which way this one's going to go. Jeremy Stephens, obviously, his ferocious power. We know him for a long time. You know, a lot of Darren Elkins' fights have gone to decisions. You know, it's a tough fight to call here, but I do see, you know, it's probably going to stay standing this fight. I'd say, you know, Jeremy wants to keep it that way. And I think if Jeremy catches Darren Elkins clean, I think it could be lights out for Darren Elkins. So I'm going to just go with Jeremy Stephens in this one. I think it's going to be a standing battle. I think Stephens is going to try and look in and, you know, get in quick, get out. Elkins is very quick on his feet as well. But I just think Jeremy Stephens, you know, he's going to land at some stage, and you know, the serious power in Stevens' shot. So I'm going to favour Jeremy Stevens in this fight. Just, I think it's going to be a really good fight. I'm really looking forward to this card as a whole. So we're going to get to the next interview of the day in just a moment with John Morgan of MMAJunkie.com, and we're going to talk about all the fights: Donald Cerrone, Stipe Miocic, Benson Henderson, obviously the pressing issues of the week, Keith Kaiser, Chris Lieben, Khabib Nurmagomedov. So just before we get to it, you can obviously catch me on Twitter at NoelMcGrath4 and at Talking Brawls. Also on Gmail, talkingbrawls@gmail.com. And you can obviously subscribe to this on iTunes. So get subscribing, get downloading, all that, getting your comments, whatever. And as I said, next week, stay posted on my Twitter page at NoelMcGrath4 or at Talking Brawls for some good big news. And obviously, I mentioned earlier on, we'll have a new co-host on the show next week. So let's get to it. Without further ado, let's talk to John Morgan of MMAJunkie.com, and I'll be back to talk about the last three fights and give my fight predictions after this interview with John. So nice one, guys. Check it out. Cheers.
This is Bruce Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.
Delighted to welcome on John Morgan from USA Today and MMAJunkie.com. John, first of all, big thanks for coming on the show. How you been keeping, mate? How are things?
Hey, I've been doing great, man. Thanks for having me, brother.
Good stuff. John, obviously it's been another crazy few weeks of mixed martial arts, and I just want to get your few opinions on things before we get into this weekend's card at UFC on Fox 10. Keith Kaiser is stepping down as executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. I know there's a lot of happy people about this, but who do you think you know, is going to get the job, and who's going to replace Keith? Who would be the ideal candidate for the position?
You know, that's a really interesting question, and I wish I had a better answer for you. I mean, there's just not a lot of people that stand out above the pack where you just say, that's got to be the guy we go with. I mean, it's a very unique position, obviously, in the type of background that you need to have. You certainly need to have a working knowledge of mixed martial arts, and you certainly need to have a working knowledge of boxing as well. You know, and then obviously there's all the legal requirements and that sort of things that are required as well. So it's interesting. I don't think there's a lot of candidates that just, you know, jump out at you and say, hey, that's the automatic guy we got to go with. But, you know, that person is certainly going to be dealing with some issues when they come in. You know, testosterone replacement therapy and then the TUEs that have been issued as of later are certainly a big problem. And I think, you know, drug testing continues to be a big, big discussion in the sport. And then, of course, there's just the simple things, the judging issues, and that need to be fixed as well. So a lot of challenges ahead. You know, as a Nevada resident, you know, somebody that lives here in Las Vegas and attends a lot of the meetings and gets to work with commission very closely, I can tell you it's a fairly thankless job, man. it doesn't seem to get a whole lot of praise. So I'll be interested to see who they eventually decide on.
And John, as you said there, you know, Keith has been criticized in the past for, you know, a whole numerous amount of things, from the whole John McCarthy situation to, you know, the testing, what have you. Is this a positive step for mixed martial arts in the state?
I think it can be. I mean, I think changes, it can, you know, always be good or bad, and I think it'll all depend on, you know, who comes in. I mean, what if somebody comes in? Personally, I think he kind of caught a lot of grief that he didn't necessarily deserve. I mean, not to say that the man was perfect, but I think a lot of times people put things on his shoulders that really weren't his to begin with, and I think that was always a little bit unfair. But I mean, listen, you know, people that are heralding this is, you know, hey, now's the moment where everything gets better. You know, I don't want to be the pessimist, but it is possible that it could get worse as well. I mean, you could have somebody come in that doesn't care, or that, you know, has a different agenda or what have you. So it's going to be very interesting to see. But, you know, certainly change can be good at the top of organizations like this. Hopefully it will be a good thing.
Good stuff. And I believe this is Keith's last week in the job. When should we expect a new chief exec in place?
I think they want to get it done as quickly as possible. They went the route of not naming an interim director, which I think kind of forces them to get the ball moving a little faster. Sometimes when you have an interim person in place, you lose a little bit of that sense of urgency. They elected not to do that. So I think we'll see somebody as quickly as possible. You know, they're trying to identify candidates right now. Because it is a government job listing, it has to be publicly listed. So there is a website listing for it where anybody that wants to can fill out an application if they'd like. But I think they'll try to get something done sooner rather than later.
And John, your personal opinion, I know, you know there's not a lot of guys out there that are, you know an awful lot about, you know, they don't solely focus on either boxing or mixed martial arts. There's a lot of guys sort of split down the middle. Who is there any names or anyone you'd like to possibly see get the role?
You know, I don't know, to be honest with you, because I don't cover boxing at all. You know, I've been to one major boxing event just because I wanted to see what it was like and compare the differences, but I just don't follow that scene at all. And so I really don't know anybody that would have a good working knowledge, and they're going to have to. I mean, boxing is still a very big thing here. You know, people like to say that boxing is dying, but, you know, there's obviously a lot of big money fights in boxing as well. So unfortunately, you know, there's not really any names that stand out to me that I know would have the mixed knowledge that they're going to need to have. So I hate to say it, but unfortunately, I don't have a lot of candidates on my list. And to be honest, I think it'll probably end up being, you know, more of a legal type, somebody that it kind of comes that we're not expecting. You know what I mean? It's a name that's not necessarily on our radar right now.
And John, moving on, Chris Lieben obviously announced his retirement this week with Ariel Helwani and the MMA Hour. In your opinion, what has Chris done for the sport? A guy I've always personally admired quite a lot. What memories and what impact has he left, especially obviously on the UFC?
Yeah, man, Chris Lieben, absolutely one of my favorite fighters. I mean, how can you not love the guy? You know, obviously didn't necessarily always make the best personal decisions for his life, but to me, I think that just kind of added to his lore, in my opinion. I mean, the guy was always so honest about his mistakes and about his emotions and about his demons and what he was dealing with. And, you know, I think we all know nobody's perfect in this world, and Chris Lieben was far from it, but the way that he was to openly address it and deal with it, you know, and be happy to explain to you what he was going through, right? You know, I have a lot of respect for that. And, of course, you know, that says nothing of the guy's fighting style, which was just pure entertainment. You know, maybe it wasn't the best for, you know, extending his career, so to speak, you know, but who doesn't love a guy that's just going to go in there and brawl? I mean, his fight with Yoshiro Akiyama is without question one of my absolute all-time favorite MMA fights. And, I mean, listen, Chris Lieben was a big part of The Ultimate Fighter. You know, he was a big personality in the sport in the early going of kind of the modern generation, so to speak, the post-Tough era. And he's going to be missed, man. I'm glad to hear that he's sticking around. I will say I agree with his decision.
Definitely.
You know, after the fight with Uriah Hall, I said that night on a video that we did at MMA Junkie in USA Today, I said, listen, I'm pretty sure that's the last we've ever seen of Chris Lieben. And, you know, he was just a little too slow out there. And you know, the modern generation of fighters kind of developing past him, so to speak. And to see Chris Lieben quit on the stool, I mean, it's a disappointing way to see him go out. But to me, it doesn't take away from his legacy. I think the guy is an absolute legend of the sport. You know, maybe not a UFC Hall of Famer, but certainly somebody that deserves a lot of recognition and deserves to be remembered.
Definitely, completely agree. An absolute legend of the UFC. But, okay, moving on a little bit, John. You know, there's been a lot of reports this week, obviously, Khabib Nurmagomedov. Someone, you know, a lot of people fear in the lightweight division. There's been talk guys, you know, don't want to fight him. What's the situation with this? Is there, you know, legitimately guys not wanting to step in the octagon with Khabib Nurmagomedov?
Yeah, I mean, there really is. And it's not fear. I mean, that's one thing that I always hate when people say, oh, he's scared. It's not, I don't think any of these guys are scared. I mean, you look at what they do for a living. Yeah. You kind of got to take fear out of the equation. But, you know, there is something to be said for managing one's career. And I think, you know, unfortunately, the rankings that the UFC instituted have kind of, I don't want to say backfired, but it has caused some complications because, you know, now guys are really looking at their spots on that list, and they don't want to fight somebody that's lower ranking than them. You know, Nurmagomedov is a very, very dangerous opponent, still not the best-known opponent yet. And so, you know, that's a big thing. And when you're creating your matchups and trying to manage your career and do what makes the most sense for you, you know, you want to make sure that the risk is worth the reward. And I think for a lot of fighters, especially established talent, they're thinking to themselves that the risk of fighting a guy as difficult as Nurmagomedov isn't worth the reward of what the victory means. Even though the hardcores, you know, you and I would see somebody beating Nurmagomedov as a very, very impressive accomplishment. The casual fan is going to have no idea whatsoever. And I think we'd all agree that it's a very risky fight because that guy looks like the real deal, man. He's a stud. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there are guys that are hesitant right now to face him. There's no doubt about it.
And John, do you think it's a problem? You know, a lot of these Russian guys, you know, you've Khabibov as well and Usmanov. There's a whole host of guys coming through on the UFC radar at the moment. Do you think there's a problem with, you know, marketability? Because a lot of these guys, you know, don't speak English, and that's the reason why they're not, you know, reaching the sort of the fair weather fan who'll just tune in for the odd UFC event.
Yeah, I think there's no question about it. I mean, you know, the names don't exactly roll off the tongue for native English speakers, so it's kind of hard for them to get it down. And then, like you said, there's a language barrier. I mean, we've seen it with guys from all countries. I mean, you know, Brazil obviously has long been a huge talent feeder to the UFC and all of MMA, but the guys that really kind of cross over, the guys that take the time to learn English. And so, you know, it kind of sucks. I hate to be that, you know, that jerk fan that thinks everybody needs to speak English or whatever. I mean, there are other cultures and other languages in the world, but let's be honest, you know, the big market right now are the English speaking markets, you know, and so you've, you know, I think it would help to try to learn a little bit of English. I think that would definitely help with the marketability.
For obviously moving on to this weekend, a massive card in Chicago, UFC on Fox 10. Really exciting card, I think, personally, from top to bottom. First of all, in the prelims, I'm not sure if it's headlining the prelims, Sergio Pettis versus Alex Gutierrez. Obviously, there's been a lot of hype around Sergio, you know, coming into this fight, coming off, you know, even admitted himself, a sort of underwhelming performance against Will Campuzano. How good is this kid, John?
I think he's really good. You know, I think the hype is justified. The guy really is that good. You know, Sergio Pettis, if you look back at that first fight, you could really see the nerves, man. I mean, he tried to say that he didn't think he was going to be nervous, but, you know, maybe fans that aren't familiar with him didn't pick up on it, but I saw it right away from the moment he was walking in, the moment he got in. I mean, it took him a while to get settled in, and I think nerves were a huge issue. I spoke with Duke Rufus after the fight, you know, immediately as they were walking by press row, and I looked at Duke, and, you know, I was able to pull him aside real quick, and I said, look, the guy was nervous, wasn't he? And he's like, oh, my God, he wouldn't believe it. So I think that was a big part of it, and I think Sergio Pettis is the real deal. Now, hey, listen, this is MMA. Nobody's unbeatable. So, you know, I don't want to make it sound like this guy is so good that you know, Alex Caceres won't be able to touch him. You know, Alex Caceres is really kind of steadily improved over his UFC career. He's been very wily and been in some very entertaining fights. He's traveled all over the world to do it. He's a really interesting character. But, you know, I think the people that only think of him as Bruce Leroy and just think of him as a character aren't giving him enough credit for his fighting skills. So I think this is going to be a test for Sergio Pettis, but I think it's one that Sergio Pettis should pass. And, I mean, listen, Pettis is going to be a contender in that division. You can count on it. I mean, he's just 20 years old, which is incredible when you think about it.
Definitely. As you mentioned there, just a word for Alex Gutierrez. You know, his last fight, you know, he showed, you know, steady improvement on his, you know, stand up, and especially his defense off his back was particularly impressed. I know he's working with Benson Henderson down in the MMA lab in Arizona. How steadily and how legitimate test for Mr. Pettis?
It is, and I'll tell you what, man, I love the crew out there at MMA Lab. John Crouch,
unbelievable,
the head coach out there, is really one of the most underrated guys, I think, you know, in the sport. And the guy is a real smart guy. If you ever get a chance to talk to him, he's really entertaining, really knowledgeable in the sport, man, and I think he does a great job with the team out there. I think he's done a great job with Alex. And yeah. Alex is, man, he's such a unique guy as well. You know, he really fashions himself as a martial artist, you know, not just a fighter. And you know, says, look, he doesn't want to be doing this forever. He wants to capitalize on his opportunity now, retire while he's still very young in the sport. And listen, I think he's gotten steadily better over his career. You know, I don't know that Alex will ever be a champion. Yeah, I don't know if I look at him with that sort of stock. But I certainly believe he's a talented fighter. I think this is going to be a fun fight.
Definitely. I'm moving on, John. Donald Cerrone, you know, we know Donald has had a lot of problems that he's come out. You know, he said he was broke at one stage, and, you know, Cole Miller was calling him out last week. And it's just been, you know, a steady run of seeing personal issues for Donald Cerrone at the moment. He's coming up against a very, very impressive opponent. I think one of the most underrated guys, in my opinion, in the lightweight division, in Adriano Martins. How much of a tough test is this for Donald Cerrone? And do you think his mind possibly might be elsewhere?
Yeah, you know what? This is a very tough test for Donald Cerrone, and I think a lot of people. This is another one of those fights that we're talking about—a guy that nobody's really heard of. You know, the casual fan has no clue who Adriano is, and he's a legitimate contender. I mean, you know, you look at his career record—of 25-6. I think he's on like a 6-fight winning streak right now. He's the real deal. Now, Donald Cerrone, admittedly, says like he doesn't really know that much about him. He doesn't care to know that much about him. He just wants to get in there and fight. And I think for Donald, that's okay. That's just his style. That's what makes him who he is. He doesn't, you know, want to break down tape and study everything. He just wants to go in there and throw down. So I think this is going to be a fun fight. I think, you know, definitely looks like it could be fight of the night type potential. When Cowboy's on his game, he is absolutely one of my other favorite fighters in the sport. The guy comes to bang. He's got a little attitude, and he can certainly throw down. But this is no pushover for him. You know, even though people might not be aware of who Adriano is, it's going to be a tough test. And, you know, I will say this too with Cowboy, you know, he's talked out pretty openly about his financial difficulties, but I think kind of lost in that mix is the fact that, you know, he's got a home that's paid for, like everything he's got is paid for. You know, the guy doesn't have debt. He just doesn't know how to save money. I was talking to somebody, that knows him pretty well. He's like, listen, man, if they paid him, if the UFC paid him $1 million a fight, he'd spend $1 million every time. You know what I mean? He just likes to spend money and have fun.
It's my theory in life anyway as well, John. John, but do you think as well, this is a more serious problem for mixed martial artists? Because, you know, you don't want to see 5 years after they retire situation. We've seen it in the NFL. We've seen it in, you know, other sports where guys just blow all their money. Does something need to be done, or is there anything we can do to sort of regulate this?
Yeah, man, listen, I think it is a problem. I mean, this fighting is not a career, you know, that you can do forever. I've heard UFC matchmaker Sean Shelby explain it, and I think this is the most brilliant way to say it. It's like, listen, fighting is not a career. It's an opportunity with a limited window. You know, it's don't expect to be fighting for 20 years. You know, you may be that rare occasion like a Randy Couture that can make it that long, but the bottom line is you're probably not going to be. So what you have to do is you have to realize that your window in the sport of MMA is very, very limited. So what you need to do is get in there and cash in as much as you can on every opportunity that you can during that opportunity, bankroll that money, and use that to further your life in another way. You know, if you happen to get to the high end where you're making millions as a champion, then you can probably set yourself up maybe for retirement or investments or that sort of thing. But even if you're on the lower end, you know, if you can just make sure that you're saving money that you can use for your kids' college education, or, you know, to help you start another business or to help you transition to that next level. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is a problem. And I know the UFC tried to educate the guys. You know, I don't know how many listened right away. But, you know, hopefully the more, as time goes on, you know, people will realize that, you know, you can't fight forever, man. So don't think this money is going to keep coming in, you know, for years and years and years, and bank it while you can.
Definitely. I'm moving on, John, to the co-main event of the evening. Stipe Miocic versus Gabe Gonzaga. Really big fight here. I think possibly a bigger fight for Stipe Miocic, if that's fair to say. If Stipe does, you know, get the win in this fight, does this put him up in the, you know, sort of top three contendership?
Yeah, you know, I think he'd be close. You know, at USA Today and MMA Junkie, we've got him just outside the top 10. I think we've got him at number 11 right now. And so he'll be right there knocking on that door. And it's an exciting time at heavyweight. You know, it seems like there's a lot of shuffling going on and a lot of posturing. So I think it would definitely put him in line for a big fight. You know, it's funny because, you know, Stipe, I kind of agree with what you're saying, that it is a bigger fight for him in the sense that, you know, he starts his career at 9-0. And you kind of wonder, you know, is this guy the real deal? You know, we got somebody. And then he loses to Struve, and you think, okay, you know, now he's come back to earth a little bit. But, you know, he went out and put it on Roy Nelson and you know, really took it to him, and I think showed that he's the real deal. So if he can beat an established contender like Gonzaga, even though right now I think Stipe is already ranked, you know, higher than Gonzaga, you know, Gonzaga's a guy that's got tenure in the sport, certainly, you know, challenged for the title at one point. And so we know who he is. We know what he's capable of. He's looked really good. He's kind of reinvented himself as lately. 5-1 his last six fights. And so I think this is a huge fight. I don't know if I'd say that he'd be top three or four, but I think he'd be right outside of that, man. I think, you know, 5, 6, 7, right in there. Definitely. And looking to fight one of those guys that's at 1-4.
Do you think there's a bit of a worry, John, that, you know, Stipe, you know, I know he works two jobs. He's a fireman also. Do you think there's a bit of a worry that, you know, he hasn't had enough sort of ring time over the last sort of couple of years?
You know, it's weird. I do. You know, it seems like it's very young in his career. I mean, you look at the experience of who he has against. You know, even his start in the UFC, he wasn't necessarily fighting, you know, the most elite-level heavyweight. But, you know, he did look good against Roy Nelson. And, you know, it's funny, man. The sport of mixed martial arts is crazy. Because, you know, there's been a handful of guys over the years that have kind of kept full-time jobs as well. And you always wonder, like, hey, don't you want to stop and dedicate yourself completely and only train? And, you know, a lot of those guys would say, listen, man, it's this normal job that keeps my sanity. You know, if I was just training, you know, I don't think I can handle it. And so I think for some people it works better off that way. I think they enjoy, you know, having their life structured in that manner. So, you know, I do worry a little bit. You know, this is a big challenge very early in Stipe's career, just 11 fights. You know, that's what happens when you come to the UFC when you're 6-0, man. You don't get to have very many build-up fights, man. The waters get deep real quick. So, but I think this is a big challenge. I think Gonzaga is a legit guy. I think obviously anybody in that heavyweight division has knockout power, and Gabriel Gonzaga has certainly shown that. But, you know, what we haven't seen is we haven't seen Stipe on his back.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be key. If this thing stays on the feet, you know, Gonzaga's got power. He's shown that with his knockout. But I think Stipe is a little faster. You know, I think he's a little craftier in the boxing. So if this thing stays on the feet, I think Stipe is going to be okay. But if Gonzaga can get inside and kind of take this fight to the ground, I think, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge for him.
Definitely, mate. I'm moving on to the main event. Obviously, we have Benson Henderson versus Josh Thompson. Absolute barn burner of a fight. I can't wait for this one. You know, Josh Thompson going into this fight, you know, could be playing mind games. He said it's been the worst camp of his life in an interview with Damon Martin there recently. You know, how much of this is mind games, and what can we expect from Josh Thompson and Benson Henderson, who's obviously coming off losing his world title? It's a big fight for both guys, to say the least.
Boy, it really is. I mean, these guys' careers are going to be moving in different directions one way or the other. And you know, I Josh Thompson's comments are interesting. I was actually talking to Brian Stan about it earlier today. You know, he said, listen, I think the guy was being sincere. I think, you know, he was just being honest. He's a veteran of the sport. And, you know, what people have to realize is, you know, this thing isn't easy. You know, it's not easy. Sometimes it's a grind, and it's not a lot of fun to take your butt into the gym every day. And, you know, sometimes things happen. You know, I think Josh was opening a gym and, you know, had some other life kind of issues going on at the same time. And so it's been a tough one for him. But that said, Josh Thompson is a veteran, man. He knows what it means to turn it on Saturday night. So I think, regardless of what the camp was like, I don't think that means that he's going to come in ill-prepared. I think he is going to be very prepared. And I think he better be because, you know, Benson Henderson is an absolute stud, of course. And, you know, maybe Anthony Pettis just has his number. I don't know. That was certainly a disappointing outing for Benson Henderson. I know I was settling in my seat, getting ready for five rounds of action, and the thing was over before you knew it. But you got to think Benson Henderson's going to be hungry, man. That guy's so committed to excellence and so wants to be a champion and wants to be the best in the world. So, you know, he's going to come in fully prepared. I love this fight too, man. It's, you know, there's so many big fights on the horizon that honestly, until fight week, this one kind of, I won't say flown under the radar, but I wasn't really thinking about it as much. But now that we're here, fight week, man, just the clash of styles in this fight and what it really means in the lightweight division. I'm like you, brother. I'm pumped up for this one.
I can't wait. And what way do you see it ultimately going? Because, you know, Josh Thompson as well as a guy, I think on any given night, he can beat anyone in that division.
Yeah, I like this fight. Like, you know, I think if Josh Thompson is going to be able to win this fight, he's got to stay at distance. He's got to move a lot. He's got to be very active with the striking. You know, he showed that really well against Nate Diaz. But, you know, I kind of like Benson Henderson in this fight. I think Benson Henderson is going to have that fire. You know, for a while it seemed there, you know, obviously not so much against Anthony Pettis, but in some of his fights, man, he was fighting with a chip on his shoulder. He was, like, angry, you know. He wasn't just the WEC guy that was very athletic and strong and all that. I mean, he had like a little anger to him. He wanted to come in there and bully people and just kick the crap out of their legs and dirty box them up against the fence. And so I'm kind of leaning towards Benson Henderson in this fight, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, he brings such a well-rounded game. And he's so big and strong. And I think he's going to be able to nullify a little bit of Josh Thompson's offense against the cage. But listen, I wouldn't bet my house payment on it, man. Josh Thompson can beat anybody on any given night. And if he's able to stay away, if he's able to move laterally, kind of get away and not get trapped against the fence, you know, he's going to be able to do something special.
I can't wait for this fight card, and especially that fight, John. It's going to be an absolute barn burner. John, just a couple of more questions before we wrap it up. What do you think of the UFC and NCSA that they're going to be headlining UFC Fight Night 38, Henderson versus Shogun number 2? Is this the right decision by the UFC? Possibly should they have left it at, you know, that's going to be a classic fight goal. It's the right call from Joe Silva and the guys in the matchmaking division in the UFC?
You know what, it's interesting because I certainly wasn't expecting it. You know, I wasn't thinking that this rematch needed to happen. It was such a classic fight. And something that, you know, it really is one of the greatest fights of all time. There's no doubt about it. I don't know how they're going to live up to that again. I mean, you think about, to me, I always go back to, you know, Griffin Bonner and then Griffin Bonner 2. You know, it's like it just wasn't the same anymore the second time around. So, you know, I don't know if they can live up to the expectations. But that said, listen, I mean, you know, Shogun is getting to fight in Brazil. I know he'd wanted to do that. I spoke to him about that. He said, you know, he'd really appreciate the opportunity to fight in Brazil because he had been kind of fighting all around and not getting the opportunity to fight in Brazil like some of his countrymen were. And you know, there honestly weren't a lot of other fights, I think, that made sense. I mean, those guys are legends of the sport. And you reach this certain level, and I don't think you can go back down too far. You know, if you look at, say, like Anderson Silva, if Anderson Silva is able to heal this leg up and come back and fight, I mean, there's only a handful of people you can really put him against. You can't put him against some guy coming off the Ultimate Fighter, right? Or you know, some guy that's, you know, well, I hate to say that, like 6-0, obviously Weidman was only like 9-0, but still, you know, there's only a handful of guys you can put him up against. So I think Shogun and Henderson are both kind of in that situation where there's just not a whole lot of other fights that make sense for him. So, listen, I think it was a surprising matchup. I don't know how they're going to be able to equal that first fight, but listen, you know, it's an opportunity for them to do this in front of the Brazilian fans. I think the fans are going to get a kick out of it, and I'll certainly be tuned in and having my fingers crossed.
Definitely big time. And, John, just one more thing. Tito Ortiz, what's the situation there? Are we going to see Tito back in, you know, the Bellator cage?
I don't think we will. You know, I hate to say it, but I just don't think we're going to. I think those days have passed him by. I think this next situation that he's dealing with is a little too serious. He certainly didn't help himself with the DUI.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can make a mistake on a single night. I don't mean to say that, you know, that's an indication of how he's living his life on a day-to-day basis. But I just honestly, I think the injuries that he's dealing with are a little too severe. And, you know, I've heard through the grapevine, you know, I've never been able to speak with him directly about it, that, you know, he could use another paycheck or two. So, you know, he may try to get in there and get it done. But, listen, I think the injuries that he's dealing with and the risk that would be involved in fighting, I just don't know if it makes it worth it.
Definitely completely agree. John, final question before we wrap it up. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you about this fight card this weekend?
I love it, man. You know what I'm even more excited about? That I get to watch it from my couch. I don't have to be in Chicago where it's 0 degrees outside. Everybody that's there is crying and complaining about how freaking cold it is. So if I'm going to miss a card, I think this is the one I'll be happy to watch from TV. But no, this is a good one, man. It's I think people are going to like it. I think there's some good matchups on the card. You know, maybe some things that are flying under the radar. But I think there's a lot of very intriguing fights. I think it's going to be a fun night.
Great stuff. Guys, that is John Morgan from MMA Junkie and USA Today. And you can catch John on Twitter at MMA Junkie. John, it's a real pleasure to catch up with you again. And I'll probably see you over in London. I presume you'll be over. You normally do the European cards.
Sounds good, man. I look forward to it.
Thanks very much, bro. And that was John Morgan of MMAJunkie.com. One of the top journalists in the world. I think he's up for World MMA Award Journalist of the Year again. So top man, John Morgan is. And big thanks again for him for his time, for coming on the show. A busy, busy man. And you can catch his work, obviously, on MMAJunkie.com. Okay, guys. Before we get to talk about the last three fights on the card on this Saturday night, you can obviously catch us on Twitter at TalkingBrawls at @NonMcGrath4 and on Gmail if you want to get in direct contact with the show, TalkingBrawls@gmail.com, and obviously hit up with a subscribe on iTunes. That always helps out. So, okay, let's get things kicked off. One of the fights I'm most looking forward to on the night, it's definitely flying under the radar. We talked a lot about it with John there. Donald Cowboy Cerrone up against Adriana Martins. Adriana Martins is you know, this guy looks like a stud. One like Khabib Nurmagomedov, flying definitely under the radar. Coming off a great win over Darren Cruikshank. I watched the fight again there today. He just dominated him on a top position on the ground. And then obviously went back to the feet. You know, he barraged him with shots. And it was a left hook that caught him. And then just, you know, finished him on the ground with a few shots to the head. And it was a really impressive performance from a guy who, you know, I think this guy looks absolutely fantastic. And definitely one of these guys that's flying on the radar there, as we mentioned, in the lightweight division. And I'm actually going to go with the upset here. I know, you know, Donald loves to go out and fight and strike and bang. You know, he's good off his back on the ground. But I think this guy, Martins, he used to fight at welterweight as well, I believe. So he's, you know, he's a big, big lightweight. And I just think he's going to have too much power. I think Cerrone's a few things on his mind with the whole Cole Miller calling him out. He's, you know, financial problem, so to speak. I know, as John mentioned there, he's, you know, bought a lot of his things, but I don't think he's very much cash flow at the moment for himself to buy his toys. So I think Cerrone is just, maybe he might be a little bit you know, overlooking this fight here. And you know, I think this Adrian Martins kid is really going to develop into a top 10 contender in the UFC lightweight division over the next year. And I'm really looking forward to see what this guy does in this calendar year. So I'm going to go with Martins with the upset. I'm going to go here. I'm going to look for a second round a TKO finish from Adriano Martins. I've been very, very impressed with him so far in his UFC tenure. He's only his one fight in the UFC, and obviously his fight in Strikeforce. And I think he's looking for 6 or 7 on the bounce now after this fight if he was to win on Saturday night. Okay, moving on to the co-main event of the evening. Stipe Miocic versus Gabe Gonzaga. That is going to be a really, really good fight. It as John mentioned there earlier on as well, we touched on the fight briefly. You know, probably more on the line here for Stipe Miocic concerning the title, coming off a great win against Roy Nelson. Probably the best we've seen Stipe look in the octagon. Really good stand-up performance. He got in and out, didn't want to know about, you know, Roy Nelson's jiu-jitsu game. So he just looks so fast on his feet. And this guy's a big guy. I've talked to Stipe. We've had him on the show before. I've met him a couple of occasions at events on Press Row. He's a big dude. You know, he doesn't really look as big as he is, but he's a big, strong guy, a former pro baseball player. But another dimension we haven't seen Stipe is his wrestling. You know, obviously he doesn't want to mix it up with the jiu-jitsu of Gabe Gonzaga. Gabe is obviously, you know, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt and a phenomenal fighter. And, you know, Gabe's stand-up is really good as well, but I do fancy Stipe Miocic in this fight. I think Miocic is going to be too fast on his feet. I think his boxing is going to be too strong. And we've seen Gabe get hurt before from punches. And I think this is going to go a similar way. I think, you know, Stipe is going to do what he did against Roy Nelson. Land the blows, get in and out, and try and probably keep it on the feet. Obviously, he's a, you know, a really, really good quality college divisional wrestler, so he has that option as well. But he's going to keep this fight on the feet. You make no bones about it. Gabe Gonzaga is going to probably want to take it to the ground, but I just think Stipe is going to do what he did against Roy Nelson. Obviously, we know Roy has a crazy, crazy good chin, and you know, who knocks out Roy Nelson these days? But I don't think Gabe Gonzaga is going to be able to take that, you know, endure that amount of punishment that Stipe is going to dish out in this fight. And I can see this fight ending early. I'm going to go late first round, early second round, TKO victory for Stipe Miocic. I just feel it's going to go that way. That's my fight prediction anyway. But I think it's going to be a really good fight as well. This card is a really strong card. You know, obviously they like to get the exciting guys in the Fox card, so really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good card. Okay, so let's talk about it. The main event of the evening, Benson Henderson trying to come back from losing his world title, obviously last time out against Anthony Showtime Pettis. This is going to be this fight is so close to call. Josh Thompson, obviously the veteran that he is, a guy who's so, you know, diverse. He can win on any given night. I always say this to people. Josh is one of these guys that can, you know, put a performance of a lifetime. Remember that fight against Gil Melendez, one of the greatest fights in Strikeforce history. Absolute cracking fight. You got to look here though. You know, Benson, regardless if he wins or not, he's never getting a title shot, you know, as long as Anthony Pettis is champion, in my opinion. You know, if Josh wins this fight, it's going to skyrocket him towards the world lightweight title shot, because obviously he was supposed to get it on this card till Showtime got injured. But it's one of these things where you look at it and you think if Benson can get the victory, you know, it still keeps him relevant, but, you know, Showtime has to lose the belt. Thompson, on the other hand, has said this is one of the worst camps of his career. And the last time he said that, he won. You look at Uriah Faber recently. I think Uriah Faber said his fight camp against Michael McDonald was one of the worst he ever had, and put on one of the best performances in his UFC career. And in his career in whole, it was an incredible performance from Uriah. But Josh, I don't think it's going to play into hands. Maybe it's psychological talk. I think Josh is a pretty honest guy. But I think, you know, it's one of these fights, it's just so close to call. I can see this fight going five rounds. I think it's going to be an explosive fight. You're going to look to see Benson Henderson want to probably take this to the ground, dominate, use his kicks, his big heavy leg kicks. Obviously last time out against Showtime, Showtime was the one doing all the kicking, both guys with taekwondo backgrounds. But this fight, it's just so intriguing. Benson, you know, it's going to be interesting how he fights. We've seen Benson, you know, he's done enough to hold on to the title while he was champion. And I don't think he really was the Benson Henderson that we knew of old. You know, a lot of people got on his back, thought he was a bit of a boring fighter to watch. But I think it was the Benson Henderson of old, the guy who, you know, got that title shot. And, you know, he was trying to hold on to the title rather than, you know, go out and, you know, defend his title with flair and gusto. It was a matter of, you know, keeping a hold of that title at all costs and doing all things necessary to keep a hold of that title. And obviously last time out it didn't work. But we need to see that Benson Henderson again, I think. But listen, don't write off Josh Thompson. This is going to be a really, really good fight. And I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Thompson, you know, came away with the victory in this fight. Josh Thing is going to want to try and keep standing as much as possible and use his boxing skills. But, you know, this is a fight that can be won in so many different ways. But I'm going to shade it. I'm going to go away. I wouldn't put money on this fight, but I'm going to shade it. Josh Thompson, I'm going to shade it by decision. It's going to go, obviously, the five rounds, and I think Josh just might have enough to do this. I think, you know, he's old enough now and big enough to understand if you've a bad camp and he's overcome diversity before, to really have the experience to win this fight. And even if he loses this fight, he's still going to be relevant in the division because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Benson Henderson isn't getting a title shot any time soon. It's going to be an absolute barn burner, I think, this fight. Watch it. You know, keep your eyes on it. It could end at any moment, but I think it has the billing to go five rounds. I think both these guys are, you know, true warriors and true, you know, representatives of what mixed martial arts is really about. And it would be a really nice thing for a lot of people to see Josh win this. I think Josh will clearly go in as the fan favourite, not the bookies' favourite. But I am going to go with the upset in this fight. I think Josh Thompson is going to take it by decision. It goes down, obviously, this weekend in Chicago at UFC on Fox 10 on BT Sports for the guys over here, and obviously for our American friends on Fox Sports. I think the prelims kick off over here at 11 p.m. and also what's the time difference? 6 hours, so that is 5 p.m. in Chicago. It is going to be absolute crazy. Just before we wrap it up tonight, obviously, you know, we lost another person in the world of mixed martial arts a couple of weeks back, Maurizio Gonzingano. Husband of the UFC women's bantamweight number one contender, Kat Zingano. He took his own life. Very, very sad set of circumstances. And listen, condolences to the Zingano family, Kat Zingano, and you know, all his friends and family. A really sad set of affairs again in the world of mixed martial arts. We've lost another great person. The MMA community's rock, but I know the MMA community's very supportive one, and I've seen all the tweets to wishing Kat Zingano and her family, you know, sending their prayers to those guys, because it's a very, very sad time. But guys, listen, always do really appreciate you checking out the show and listening in. And as I said, next week I'm going to have a new co-host on. There's going to be a lot of things happening next Tuesday or Wednesday. It's probably more likely going to be Wednesday. So get on our Twitter page at Talking Brawls, at Niall McGrath for myself, and obviously on Gmail, talkingbrawls@gmail.com. You can find me, and also subscribe on iTunes. That'd be great. Leave comments, all that good stuff. So before I wrap it up today,
I'm a man. I am an anchor man.
Didn't really mean to hit that, but it's funny all the same, because I am a man, I'm an anchor man. What a film, love it, one of the all-time classics. So before we wrap it up today, big thanks again to Alex Gutierrez, and best of luck to him against Sergio Pettis tomorrow night at UFC on Fox 10, and also to John Morgan from MMAJunkie.com. Obviously check John out on MMAJunkie.com and USA Today, really one of the best guys in the world, and a big thanks to him again for his time. You can catch those guys on Twitter at MMA Junkie John, and also at Bruce Leroy Glow. So hit them up, great guys to follow. And watching the Wayans are actually on at the moment this week. It's 10:30 here in Dublin, so just having it on in the background, get a little bit distracted here. But listen, I'm going to go out for a pint and enjoy my weekend. And as I said to you, make sure you're on the Twitter page next week at Talking Brawls, at Niall McGrath, for big news coming. And listen, enjoy your weekend. Have an absolute barn burner. Check out the card tomorrow. Some from Niall McGrath taking out the trash. It's good luck and good night. Cheers, guys. Thanks.